Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Exodus Church, located in Belmont, North Carolina. For more information about our church and the many ways you can be involved, please go to our website at theexoduschurch.org or email us at info@theexoduschurch.org.
Yeah, March of 2020, I was here for a theological thing on the person and work of Jesus, and it was a wonderful thing, and it was the last thing that I did kind of on the road before the pandemic shut everything down, and I had, I think, 10 events that were on the books that kind of got wiped out instantly. And so I remember this place fondly. Good to be back. Brian asked me a couple weeks ago, I know it's last minute, could you come in with us? I said, absolutely. It would be a privilege. Now, I did get in trouble talking about barbecue. My brother is a competition barbecue guy in Memphis. His team has been fifth in the world. So I have opinions that are informed. And I made fun of somebody smoking meat a certain way. And then I got in trouble afterwards, man, because I use charcoal and wood because I'm a man, and some people don't like those kind of comments, and the Traeger people all run after you, and like Ryan Lowe's a rec tech guy, so he's smoking with rabbit turds in a good way, whatever you do, man, even vegan folks. I cooked some portobello mushrooms for some wrestlers at Virginia Tech on Monday. Yeah, my name is Reed. I'm the president of the Gospel Underground, which is a small ministry. This wrapper around what I do, and that has three lanes. One, I support and equip local churches to be more effective in our current cultural moment. So I train church planners. I do a lot of coaching in that lane, and then I do a lot of equipping events like I did last March in local churches. The second thing I do is that I grew up in a non-Christian family, and someone stepped into my life when I was 20 years old to share with me about Jesus when I was a college wrestler in Chapel Hill, believe it or not. What's up, NC State people? And told me about Jesus Christ. So I still want to do that directly. So I speak on university campuses. I'm the chaplain for the Virginia Tech wrestling team. So trying to lead knuckleheads to Jesus and train them. So supporting and strengthening churches, direct ministry of evangelism. And then the other thing we do is kind of a podcast called The Gospel Underground to think about how does the church, right? How do we engage and advance the mission of God in the borderlands between the church and culture? And so that's kind of work I do. I do have the privilege from time to time to still preaching on Sunday mornings. I was a pastor for 12 years. Brian and I met in 2007 when we were both training to plant and being equipped to plant churches. The fruit downstream of that is this place, right? And then I was involved in church planting in New Jersey. Represent anybody from Jersey in here? There was somebody in the first service. Yeah, represent. All right, Jersey. I still love New Jersey. My wife grew up on a farm in North Carolina, so living in New York City metro, New Jersey was tough for her. It was a lot of attitude for me. It felt like a big game all the time. Like, what, you don't like it? You don't like it? Hey, what do you think about Jesus? Like, you'll just get it on. So we planted churches in Jersey almost 10 years and then moved back to Blacksburg, Virginia. To my ministry, I can really do anywhere. And my wife is happy to be a couple hours from mom and dad because our kids are getting old. This is a picture of our family. My wife, Casey, 25 years, marriage this month. Thanks, man. It's like very grateful to travel life with her. My daughters, one's in college. I still remember bringing her home in the car seat, you know what I'm saying? The other one is just finishing up her junior year of high school in Tommy Reed Monahan. Is the young man on the left. He's like, Dad, stop showing that picture. I think I look like a nerd in it. I was like, hey, nerds rule the world. Proceed onward, you know? And so we spent a lot of time around soccer fields. Any soccer people in here? Any Liverpool Football Club fans in here? Okay, good. All right. My wife was on the UNC soccer team, played with Mia Hamm, has national championship rings. She's the talent in our family, as I like to say. And all my kids play the football, run around doing that. Well, today, Brian asked me to engage the sermon series you guys are in related to Jesus's model prayer, right? And the topic in the little, I got one verse today, Matthew 6:10. The topic is a broad theological concept in the Bible. In fact, you guys have been looking at this as you've traveled through Matthew, this idea of the kingdom of God. And so I grew up outside of religion, outside of Christianity. My father grew up, he was an Irish Catholic who became an atheist, right? And so I grew up with nothing. But every Friday night when I was in high school, I would be gathered with a group of young men in a locker room, ready to go out on a football field, and we would say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then, of course, we would just, everybody start cussing and talk about the violence we were about to do on a football field. No idea what I was saying in this prayer. It's a very, very small thing to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But to understand the implications of what that means for our lives is immense. In fact, this statement is deeply connected with a human posture before God. How do we stand before God? And then also affects our focus. Like, if I'm a follower of Jesus, how is my focus informed by this idea of your kingdom come and your will be done? This idea of the kingdom of God is all over Jesus's ministry. In fact, this is a summary from a book called The Gospel of the Kingdom by George Ladd. This is a summary of several statements that he made looking at this phrase of how important kingdom is to Jesus. He begins his public ministry with an announcement: "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." I don't need that yet, guys. His preaching aimed to show people how they might enter into this kingdom of God. His miracles, right? His healings, his command of nature demonstrated that indeed the kingdom of God had come amongst them. And his teaching in parables, right, telling these stories to throw alongside deep truth about the kingdom of God, were opened up to people who he said had ears to hear. And then certainly when Jesus taught his followers how to pray, right, the phrase that Brian used is this model prayer. Right, in New Jersey, everybody called it "Our Father" because they were assigned, like, you go to the penalty box, you messed up, you got to say 10 Our Fathers. Right? Anybody else grew up Catholic? You know, you said "Our Fathers," right? That's what you did. Yeah, I was harsh with my wife. I go tell the guy, and he gives me an assignment to say this prayer over and over. Again, it's a practice of my life to say this prayer, but it's a model for us to understand. So when we see "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we must dive deep into what we mean by kingdom of God. If we want that thing to come here, what do we mean? Now, we don't live in the kingdom of America, right? We live in a representative democracy, a republic. But there's still kingdoms on the earth. The United Kingdom of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. I asked First Service, "Do you have any UK people in here? Any UK people? A little bit? Okay. Do you like football? No? Okay, good. So you don't like Liverpool. We're still friends." So when I think of Kingdom of Monaco, the United Kingdom, those are pretty cool, but these are cooler. I think of things like this. I think of like J.R.R. Tolkien's Rivendell, right? Anybody like Lord of the Rings? Come on, right? We all want to stay in Rivendell. That's where the Kingdom of the Elves, right? It's a place where evil is thwarted and good flourishes. But it was a staging place. They couldn't stay there, even though the temptation to stay would be great. I grew up a comic book guy. Forgive me if you like Batman. I like Marvel comics. And so these places, right, remind me when I hear the word kingdom, right, the kingdom of Wakanda. Technologically sophisticated, have the flyest metal on the earth, right? That's where the Winter Soldier goes and gets healed. Beautiful, beautiful expression in cinema of a kingdom. Now, also this place, this is actually from mythology, also the Marvel Universe, right, where Thor, Loki, who's leading Asgard, affects maybe what that kingdom is like. I think of places, and you probably do too, when you hear the word kingdom, it's tempting to simply think of a realm or a people being ruled. But when you think about even these three places, Rivendell, Wakanda, Asgard, what makes them good or bad is the nature of the king who's ruling. These places provide a small hint of what the Bible actually means when we talk about the kingdom of God, because we don't mean nation state or simply a realm and people. We think something a little bit more when we see this phrase, kingdom of God, in the Bible. So my outline today is very simple. Your kingdom come, your will be done, where on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look into the scriptures together and to be encouraged and built up from your word, that you might give us a view of who you are and who you've called us to be, that we might be strengthened for every day ahead of us, and that so that when we learn to pray and come to you, we'd have different desires. And not only would our desires be changed, because of that, the world around us might be transformed as well. And so, Lord, give us humility to receive from you and by your Spirit this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Simple outline, simple outline. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you hear the term kingdom, I don't want you to think nation state, but I want you to think of the rule of a sovereign. What is the world like, or what is the room like when Jesus rules? Kingdom is related much more to the king than simply the scope or boundaries of a territory. In fact, when we talk about the kingdom in the Bible, we mean something deeply connected to the character of God. Now, Brian Lowe said last week, what we think about who we pray to, what we think about the Father, right, determines how we pray. What we think about the one we pray to determines how we pray. And what we think about the king shows us what kind of kingdom we are talking about in the scriptures. Now you can put that quote up, guys. George Ladd, this is a direct quote from the book, The Gospel of the Kingdom, says this clearly. The kingdom of God is his actual kingship, his rule, his authority. Once this is realized, we can go through the New Testament, find passage after passage where this meaning is evident, where the kingdom is not a realm or simply a people, but God's reign. When we say, your kingdom come, we're indicating a desire for the sovereign rule to come and manifest itself here and now. Oh God, what would it look like for your kingdom to rule here when King Jesus is sovereign? Now the prayer continues, your will be done. Your will be done. Again, this is the model prayer. Your will be done means we want this. God, it is our desire to pray that your will be done. We desire that in our own prayers that your purposes, your desires should be accomplished amongst people. Now, when you think about prayer for a moment, prayer and the will of God, we're praying, God, your will be done. Now, we know God wants that. Right? It's pretty simple. Now, there's kind of a layering here if we compare this with like 1 John chapter 5, where it says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we have what we have asked of him. So prayer is in many ways God aligning us to his will. For that, we need wisdom in life. Lord, what do I do here? What do you want? What does it look like for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in this relationship, in this context at work, in this drama that I'm dealing with others? The Bible says in James chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he gives generously without finding fault. So we know, God, what is your will here? I need wisdom. We can ask him, and God can show us the way in any and every circumstances. Prayer is interesting because We can flow towards two extremes, I think. We can go in one sense to think, well, I get to tell God what to do. Well, the model prayer says that's not the case at all, right? Your will be done. But at the same time, we can't take this idea that we're praying, God, your will be done, meaning that our prayers don't matter. Because God will use our prayers to accomplish his will in and through us. When we come to the issue of prayer, not only do we need to ask God for wisdom so that his will be done in any and every kind of complex circumstances we face, but we ask it with a certain posture. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. That's kind of, I don't know, I just read that bluntly. It's kind of heavy. Like, I'm before God, you're like, wrongly. This feels kind of heavy to me, right? Now the rest of the verse makes a lot of sense of this. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The word there for passion is where we get our word hedonism from. Basically, what I want to do for my pleasure, to fulfill me. And so what does it mean to ask wrongly in prayer? It's saying what we want, not the will of the Father. So this is why this model prayer is so simple, but so important to our posture, right? Our Father, hallowed be your name, who we're talking to, your will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Our actions fueled by prayer as we live our lives, right? Empowered by the Spirit of God, are a means by which God manifests his kingdom on the earth. Your kingdom come, God, your will. I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to pray in circumstances for this so that your kingdom, the nature and reality of Jesus, will be made visible through human lives. We pray that we might see God's rule in every circumstance. And that means that he wants to do that in us and through us. Now, where does this happen? On earth as it is in heaven, right? I have many friends that say this when they're planting churches, like in New Jersey as it is in heaven, right? In Charlotte Metro, in Belmont, as it is in heaven. What does this place, and you can even just say, this place, your own life, this place, your crew you run with, your community, this city, what does it look like if the kingdom comes, if God's will is done in this sphere by the King? In Charlotte Metro, as it is in heaven. Now, there is a bit of an in-house debate amongst Christians, and there has been for hundreds and hundreds of years, about the kingdom of God and whose job it is to manifest it or bring it to the earth. Okay? Is that primarily our job? Or is this primarily God's job to bring his kingdom to the earth? Now, you can see why this is an important question. And any student of history can see mistakes that have been done with this sort of idea. Is this our job to bring the kingdom, or is this primarily the work of God? Well, it's a little bit of both. As we pray and as we live and as we submit to the rule and reign of Jesus in our lives, the kingdom is manifest. But let me be clear, we do not bring the kingdom of God upon other people by human force and power. We do not bring the kingdom of God manifest in the earth by any means necessary. The kingdom is not brought to the earth by any particular nation state. Good government can reflect God's goodness and purposes and kingdom, but the kingdom of God is not brought to the earth through human politics. There have been grievous things done in Jesus' name, trying to manifest the kingdom through power and force and politics. But this is our prayer. This is what Jesus taught his followers in how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done here. How does that break in to the now? Well, the kingdom is made visible on the earth now through the gospel of the king. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. This is in Mark chapter 1. Through God's people being brought together by the gospel, through love of neighbors and living justly towards our neighbors. The kingdom comes now when God transforms people. And that has a radiating effect out into how we shape our communities and live with one another. And then the kingdom fully and finally comes at the end of the age, at the end of history, through the judgment and salvation of the king. These two things about the end of time are wonderfully important and beautiful. There's a mistake being made sometimes where like, oh, we don't want to imagine that God would judge anything. Man, if you're awake at all today or through human history, and you see everything that humans have done and are doing to each other, and if we think God doesn't care, salvation and judgment will come at the end of time. By God's grace, through faith in the King, we are saved and part of his kingdom. It's an open doorway to all. Anyone who comes, Jesus will not cast out, John chapter 6. But in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, in the full and final state, I won't be running around doing evil to other people. So we have to be transformed. We have to be changed. We have to be saved. Don't imagine a heaven where Adolf Hitler rules or even acts in any way like himself. It can't be. It can't be. Here's the beauty. Through the good news of Jesus Christ, through the love of God, God wants to forgive many and bring them into a family. They will be with him forever when the kingdom fully, finally is realized forever and ever. Amen. But we need to be saved and rescued. Otherwise, we rightly face God's good and just justice in the end. I love this quote by Craig Blomberg. He's a New Testament scholar. He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," expresses the desire that the acknowledgement of God's rule and the accomplishment of his purpose take place in this world as if it were in the very throne room of heaven. This is what the model prayer means. Desire. This is what we want, God. We want your rule to be here, to be here, to be here. Why? It's good. Nineteenth century English pastor Charles Haddon Spurgeon, reflecting on this verse, just, and I love the simple word he uses here. Our heart's highest wish is for God's honor and dominion and glory. What do you wish for? What do you want? What do you desire? This prayer says, our wish. Oh God, your kingdom, your will, here. This means, right, that we're seeking a different reality than the kingdoms of this world that run after power and pleasure and stuff and accumulation of things. We have a different desire. We want God's glory to be manifest in our lives. This is very, very simple. God, I want this true of my life. I want to build my life wanting your will to be highest, my highest wish. I want to build my family with your will and your kingdom as my highest wish. We want our churches to reflect the will of Jesus and the character of Jesus as the body of Christ in a community. We want our highest wish as a church to be his kingdom and his will. When our highest wish is the glory and honor and dominion of God, things change. Someday the kingdom of God will come in fullness. This is a great hope. In fact, the Bible says it's the blessed hope, right? That the current age will not be the final say on reality. That there will be a good and wonderful, there'll be the good place, biblically, theologically, defined by Jesus. And until then, we are drawn forward in life very much. The book of Ecclesiastes says, life under the sun, with all its vanities and emptiness and ridiculousness that we go through, the great gravity that pulls us forward in hope to the kingdom of God comes when we pray, oh Lord, this is our wish. Someday, the book of Revelation tells us, right, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Better than any politician or potentate that's ever been seen on the earth. King Jesus ruling the kingdom of God forever. And here's the beauty, friends. Here's the beauty. Someday, realm, people, and king will be united fully. United fully. And as much as I love Rivendell, Wakanda, Asgard, and even Narnia, this realm, this people, with this king will be so much more glorious. As much as Elrond and Odin and T'Challa and Aslan seem really great, Jesus is better still. Now, how does this land in our lives? I like to keep things simple. Even this week, I had opportunity, right? You will have opportunity this week to ask the question, what does it look like for the kingdom come and God's will be done in this conversation? Been married 25 years. I've had many opportunities to say, Lord, what's the kingdom look like here? Just on Monday, I had this grand scheme plan. I was cooking out. I bought like way too much like prime ribeyes that were about that thick each. And I was going to smoke them, then sear them and feed my wrestling Bible study. And I had a game plan. My wife and kids had soccer games that night. So I was having them to the house and I was going to run, get my daughter from college, only about an hour, 15 minutes from me, get her so she could help me entertain, right? The wrestler guys. And she was stoked. Well, my wife said, oh, you don't need to do that. I'll go get her during the day. Right? So you can focus on getting ready for the party. And then we'll give her a car, let her drive back to college. You don't have to take her back late at night. And we'll just do this thing. I'm like, oh, I feel loved. I feel appreciated by my wife, right? Now the kingdom there is just like worship. Like, thank you, God. This is great. Well, I learned the next day that my wife had changed all the plans, that we were no longer getting my daughter from college, and that she was not doing that, and we weren't sending her back with a car. And all of this had happened with no conversation whatsoever with me. I was just alerted to the changes. I was mad. I was like, I didn't even ask you to do anything. Like, this was all on me. I was doing everything. You didn't have to think about anything but your soccer game. And now all of a sudden you change your plans. You know what I wanted to like engage, how my engagement process was going to be? It wasn't thinking of the kingdom of God and the will of God. It was thinking about what I wanted. And why she had wronged me. And I actually, because I was, you know, sharing this weekend, I think, Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, right? Well, maybe not literally like that. But I had to decide, right, how I was going to engage in a simple conversation where I was mad. You see, how do we build the kingdom? How do we manifest it now? Very simply. First of all, we can build it with our own words. Ephesians 4 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. When we use our words that way, the kingdom is manifest in our midst. And by the way, that scripture is not just about cussing. It's about what we do with language. Do we build up? Do we tear down? Secondly, if we want to manifest the kingdom, your will be done here, we build on gospel foundations and rhythms in life. 1 Corinthians 3:11, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For the kingdom of Jesus to be manifest, the rhythm of our interactions has to be gospel-laden. That means repentance and faith. I repent when I do wrong. We trust Jesus to move us forward by faith. That kind of culture manifests the kingdom of God. Thirdly, not surprisingly, we build on the words of Jesus himself. In the book of Matthew, you guys will get to Matthew chapter 7, where this unbelievable, you want to build a life? Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, lives this way, will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Or you can be a fool. Build your house in the sand and disregard everything in the teaching of Jesus that you've just heard. We use our words, we live gospel lives founded on the words of Jesus, and then certainly the kingdom is manifest in this world as it is in heaven through prayer. Through prayer. Let me close with this. New Testament scholar David Turner said this, "The Lord's Prayer convincingly shows that one should not primarily pray in order to receive goods and services from God, but in order to render service to God." Luke 11, "Hallowed, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." Is that your wish? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being a good creator, that space, time, and energy were created at your will, and we exist because you made us. And Lord, we desire so many things in life. I'm so drug away by selfish ambition or thinking only about what I need or what I want at all times. And Lord, thank you for teaching us to pray to draw us away from ourselves, that we can look up and think about the creator of all things, who's our Father. And then we could have our desires changed. That we would wish you to be in charge of our lives and our world. We could desire and pray for your will to be done in any ever circumstance we face, whether that's a conflict we're facing with a friend or a spouse, whether it's wisdom we need for raising children or at our job or service to others. Lord, you give us what we need when we ask with a motive that's different, not just for ourselves, but for your honor, your dominion, and your glory. Lord, even now as we take communion, I do pray you'd remind us, as so much has been given by a sacrificial king, the true and great and better king of all things, Jesus himself, who showed us what it looked like to love, showed us what it looked like to sacrifice, and leads us that the kingdom might be manifest here as it is in heaven. Lord, make that so more and more each day until fully and finally you bring about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We look forward to that day. Draw it near, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.